Here they come. Turn four. Final lap.
Live from the Wholesale Link Studios, powered by RumbleOn.com. Rev up your engines and get ready for the racing weekend.
Here they come. Checkered flag.
It's Chasing Checkers with your host, Chase McCabe, on Nashville's best sports talk.
ESPN.
102.5 The Game and the Game Nashville app.
Now he's here to say the most famous words in motorsports. Please welcome multi-platinum, ACM, CMA, CMT, and Billboard Music Award-winning country music superstar, Luke Combs! Nashville! Y'all ready, baby? Drivers, start your engine!
Here they come, off turn number four. All the eyes on the flag stand. Green flag goes in the air. Eric Almirola on the outside, right behind Chase Elliott. Then we've got Kyle Busch working to the inside. Joey Logano behind. Three wide already. Here comes Chase Elliott.
Kyle Larson exits turn number four. Checkered flag in the air. And Kyle Larson wins the Ally 400 at Nashville Super Speedway.
Yeah, I knew we needed to save some fuel. So I was able to just get out to lead and start kind of backing my entries up and save enough to get to the end. So first, I guess, I don't know if this was really a fuel mileage race or not, but we saved enough to get to the end, so that was good. And just another awesome crowd. These last, you know, month and a half or whatever it's been since we've had a crowd, I've been doing good, and maybe it's because the crowd and the atmosphere is getting me pumped up. But cool to see an awesome place, awesome track here, and just a great city. I had fun this week and glad to leave with a win.
And there you go. That's how it all sounded. On the Motor Racing Network, the voice of NASCAR is heard on ESPN 102.5, The Game, the Ally 400 from the Nashville Super Speedway. After 37 years, the Cup Series is back in the Music City. Welcome into Chasing Checkers here on ESPN 102.5, The Game. I am Chase McCabe, and just a fun show planned today. You're going to hear from Darrell Waltrip. He joined us earlier in the week on Darren Donick and Chase. We'll play some of that for you. Eric Moses, the president of the Nashville Super Speedway, is going to join to kind of give his thoughts, what it was like for him, still being new to the sport, the first event there. So looking forward to that. But Nashville and the Nashville Super Speedway, the area, Lebanon, Middle Tennessee, should be happy because the television ratings were great. NBC Sports Network saw great improvement in their television ratings, which was fantastic. The crowd was awesome. I thought the racing was pretty good throughout the weekend. I mean, I know Kyle Larson kind of ran away with it on Sunday and continued his dominance. But if you look at the side-by-side battles that were taking place, I mean, there was definitely more than one groove. And I thought that was interesting. In fact, after the Xfinity race on Saturday, which Kyle Busch won, his 100th Xfinity victory, he was asked if Nashville Super Speedway was just how he remembered it.
Yeah, no, it really was. Actually, it was very racy, I felt like. Way racier than I remember Nashville being in the past. We used to come here. I mean, it was always bottom lane, be on the bottom. And, you know, if you ever got off the bottom, you were pretty much getting passed. And that's the way it kind of looked like at the end. But the beginning and the middle part of the race, you can move around. You can enter way high and come down to the middle. You could stay high, wherever you wanted to be. So way wider than I remember it being.
And I was curious to see what the groove was going to look like. I mean, if you really think back 10 years ago, the last Xfinity and truck races that they had out there, that second groove was just starting to come in. The track had aged a little bit. It was starting to develop some character. And then they also put the resin down that certainly helped because, as you heard on the show a few weeks ago when Kurt Busch was on, one of the concerns he has was eating up the tires. And would the old track surface that's just been sitting there chew up these tires? They put that resin down. And that helped quite a bit because it basically just kept the rubber on the track. So there was the track rubbered up very nicely, and therefore you saw some of the racing you did. So I thought overall the racing, the product was good. You had Ryan Preece winning the truck race, and I thought the Xfinity race was probably the best of the weekend with the side-by-side battles. I mean, Justin Allgaier and Kyle Busch duking it out for the win. That was fantastic. So I think overall the folks at Nashville Super Speedway should feel pretty good about what happened. And And the cool thing is the drivers and everybody involved, they were just excited for Nashville. They were excited to be back in the Music City or in the area. Kyle Larson did dominate, but he commented on the win in the media center.
Yeah, it was another good one. We've had probably the best race car on the racetrack for at least a month and a half. So good to take advantage of it and get another win. Able to jump out to lead right from the get go and basically lead the rest of the race. If it wasn't for the cautions at the ends of the stages, we had a near perfect day. So just happy with it. Happy to get another win. The crowd was awesome too. So I think the atmosphere felt really high before the race. It was just cool to be here. Cool to be in Nashville all week, and always great to get a win.
That's Kyle Larson, and yes, the crowd was awesome from my seat. So I was the part of the public address team, and so for pre-race, I was down by the stage. You heard me introduce Luke Combs there. I was down by the stage at the beginning, and I know there were some traffic issues and some things that they got to work on. We'll talk to Eric about that, but the crowd was pretty good to start the race, and you could feel the energy. You could feel the excitement. At the end of the race, I could hear the crowd over the cars as things were winding down. And when Larson did that burnout at the end where he basically went from one end of the grandstand to the next before the tires gave, that was fantastic. And that's what everybody wanted to see. Would people come out? And I didn't expect anything different for the first one. Now, I want to continue to see it, but like I said, you gotta clean up a few things, which is normal when you have an event for the first time in a long time, 40,000 people going into one place. I mean, there's certainly some logistical things you got to figure out, but I think people should be more than happy to go back next year, and you should feel really good about that. But you had some good racing, and you had Nashville being Nashville, and it ultimately led to a good day. Rick Hendrick continues his winning ways as an owner. And what's interesting is the last time the Cup Series was in Nashville, the number 5 for All-Star Racing, which became Hendrick Motorsports, won the race. Jeff Bodine was the driver. It was a red and white number 5. Rick Hendrick commented on that.
I got the coolest guitar. I've got a Chet Atkins limited edition. It's the prettiest guitar in my collection. And I just remember how unbelievable that was, because I still can't believe we won 3 races that year. It was just, it just blows my mind from the start. But Nashville's a great place to race. It's a great city. If I didn't live in Charlotte, I'd want to live here. So, it's just I'm a country music fan. I was hanging out with Brad today. We've been buddies for a long time. It's special to come back and compare these two. I don't get the guitar this time. Do we get a duplicate guitar?
You can get anything you want, Mr.
Okay. Yeah, you got a guitar.
I'll put that beside the other guitar. Okay.
Yeah, and I'll agree with that at the end. He's Rick Hendrick. He can get whatever he wants, for sure. And yes, the guitar was certainly a big part of what the drivers were chasing this weekend. They got a trophy. The trophies look cool for all 3 races, but they also got that Gibson guitar, which is done in tribute to the late, great Sam Bass, who is the artist that painted those guitars in the past. I know that's something that Larson was very excited about, to have one of those. Kyle Busch did not smash it this time. He acted like he was going to, but he said he was just having fun. It wasn't going to do it, so... I thought that all of that was interesting, and Kyle was even brought that stat was brought up to Kyle, and talked about that.
Yeah, I didn't realize that until he mentioned that in Victory Lane. Definitely a really cool stat, and I think more than anything, it just shows how well Rick Hendrick has been able to maintain this success throughout so long. It's unbelievable, how he's done so much for this sport. And we're all very fortunate to be racing for him. Mechanics, everybody at the shop, there's probably I don't know if there's a single same person a part of the race team that was there 30 something years ago when they won here last time, but We're celebrating with another win. So, like I said, it just shows how he is so good at bringing people that he believes in to keep his organization as strong as it is.
So, Hendrick Motorsports, NASCAR, Nashville, it all comes together. But something about the future, not just the racing. One thing that took place on Saturday is Justin Marks and Pitbull, who co-owned Trackhouse Racing, that was the Tootsie's car, Daniel Suarez, they held a press conference, talked about a variety of different things. You know, it was announced the day before that Colic Racing had bought two charters from Spire, and so they were going cup racing. Justin Haley is going to be a full-time driver. AJ Allmendinger will drive a part-time schedule for Colic. They paid a lot for those charters, is what's being reported. Trackhouse is looking at going full-time with a second team. You have 2311 that's doing the same thing. So a lot of different things in play here. But one of the things that Justin Marks wants to do is he wants to have his race team in Nashville. He lives in Nashville. Ty Norris lives in Nashville. And so he wants the team to be based here. And he discussed why he thinks that's possible.
We're not that far from Charlotte, so it's like, you know, it's not, we're not really on so much of an island. I mean, we can still do weekly business with our partners and our suppliers in Charlotte, but you know, this new car, I believe, represents an opportunity to rethink, you know, your race shop and what it is, and that's something that Ty and I talk about a lot, and something we talked about early in the days of Trackhouse is asking ourselves, what is a race team? Why is a race team in 140,000 square feet in an industrial park? Well, for a lot of years it had to be because of engineering and manufacturing, but a lot of that stuff's going away. So as we just sort of wipe the slate clean and start thinking about what a race shop of the future, race team of the future looks like, I think it should be a public business. I mean, it's, you know, we've got these amazing race cars, amazing people that work on these race cars. I mean, race shops are really an incredible thing to see, as you know, Chris. And I think that people should have access to that and to take that content and put it out there in the world is something that's very important to the future trajectory of Trackhouse. And Nashville is a very quickly growing community. It's an entertainment and event city. That's the business that we're in, entertainment and events. And it represents an opportunity for us to carve a niche out for ourselves in a market where we can really get the community support behind us, and we can really be one of the professional sports team in this market. Timing wise, you know, it's a little TBD, just because, you know, we all have to learn this new car together, and we have to understand how, you know, how a business can be built around this new car. But I mean, I don't think it's outside the realm of possibility that, you know, in 24 months from now we're racing out of Nashville. But you know, it's a lot of TBD because we have a lot of learning yet to do.
I mean, it would be huge to have that. And I know Justin has talked about it before of having a shop here. I mean, it's very clear that the sport wants to be in Nashville, that the sport wants to have a hub here. They have their banquet here. Now they have a race here. You know, the fairgrounds is still very much a possibility to possibly have even more racing here. So I think it makes sense to have a team based here. And with the new car and things that you can do, it, you don't need as much space to do that. I mean, the business model is certainly changing. So to have Trackhouse potentially be based in Nashville at some point in time, I think would be really cool. Overall, just an awesome weekend. I had a blast. My thanks to everybody involved at Nashville Super Speedway for giving me that opportunity. The great Joe Williams, who has been the voice at the Super Speedway, been out at the fairgrounds as well, and just had a blast working with him and everybody at NASCAR Productions that was involved, International Sound. It certainly helped us put on a great show, other than the one on the track. So it was awesome. But Eric Moses gave me that opportunity, and he is in the on-deck circle. We're going to talk to Eric when we come back here on Chasing Checkers, ESPN 102.5 The Game, and The Game Nashville. We're back on Chasing Checkers, ESPN 102.5 The Game, streaming on the Game Nashville app. And as promised, you know, we spent the first segment talking about how great of a weekend it was at the Nashville Super Speedway. But the man that was behind it with his team, I know it's not a one-man show. He will tell you that. Eric Moses, the president of the Nashville Super Speedway, is on the line with us. And, Eric, I know that I told you before we brought you on that I'm still riding the wave. You have to be as well.
Yeah, it was a very special weekend, and I am still riding that high from both working so hard and the lack of sleep, but also just the inpouring of congratulations and comments and well wishes from across the industry, and most importantly from our fans.
I watched the documentary that NASCAR did, because I saw the camera crew with you the whole weekend, and they did two different parts of the reopening of the Nashville Super Speedway. I thought it was very well done. It was cool to kind of see you live through that, because, you know, as you have said, you're still new to the sport. This is still new to you, but what was your first true race weekend like from a personal standpoint?
It was all I could have hoped for and more. It was, from an execution standpoint, much like what I would have expected based on the other large scale events I've been involved in putting together and executing. But, you know, there was something, Chase, about the scale of a NASCAR weekend, even the scale of the property, that just made it seem even bigger than the football games that I've done, the international soccer games, the large scale concerts, all of that stuff. It just felt like a Super Bowl, man. It just, you know, so many people and the presence of our campers and RVs for multiple days there, literally spending the night on the property, and all of the folks from the industry that have to come in to ensure that the event is put on in the way that it needs to be. It was humbling to be a part of it, and really just a fantastic feeling after the end of all of that.
I've had a few people this week ask me, you know, what it was like from my point of view and in my role. And the thing that I always go back to is I was a part of the first one, and the first cup race in the area in 37 years. That's got to be, not only for you, but, you know, your entire staff that does a great job, to know that you can say that no matter what else happens in life, you can always say, hey, I was a part of the first cup race at the Nashville Super Speedway.
Yeah, it is the kind of history that you want to be a part of, and that makes all of it extra special. I have always said, you've heard me say, that we've always viewed it as an honor and a privilege to have that distinction, to bring back Cup Series racing to Middle Tennessee after almost four decades. The other thing that I think I found particularly satisfying was the number of people who walked up to me or who have emailed me since saying, this was my first NASCAR experience, and how good a time they had, and how impressed they were, and how much they want to come back and they want to be a fan of our sport. That was very, very special.
Yeah, no doubt about that. Eric Moses with us, the president of the Nashville Super Speedway. Now, I saw some of the pictures that you posted on Instagram. I mean, that you got to hang out with Darrell Waltrip, Richard Petty, Kyle Petty, all of these just legends of the sport. What was that like for you?
It was great. It was great. As you know, DW and I have become really good friends, and so I see him fairly often, but it's always great to be in his presence when he's in his context. You know, these are his people. And to have him and the King there at the same time. And then, you know, earlier on Saturday, I saw Kyle. He came up to me outside the media center and just wanted to introduce himself. And you know, it's funny for me, Chase. I'm kind of like, no, I know who you are, Kyle. You know, but great to have all of those folks, and including the governor and Chris Jansen and Alvin Kamara and all of these people kind of in our suite at the same time. I thought it was the kind of mix of folks that we wanted to have, and spoke to the significance of the event and the significance of what we were all doing there together.
You know, as you know, whenever you do something big, there's going to be some people that are always just going to go, oh, well, can that work? Can they do that? I mean, the track was closed for 10 years and, you know, there's all this history of racing in Nashville, but to have the people, the fans that are commenting and giving you the praise, like you're hearing, but to have somebody like Darrell Waltrip, that we had him on Monday, he's your biggest fan. I say that, like, he really is. To have somebody like him that has the pull that he does, you know, being on board from the very beginning, I mean, that's huge, not only for now, but for the future.
Yeah, I am grateful for DW's friendship and his guidance. It is something that has helped me a great deal as I try to look at our sport in its totality with also a mind's eye towards understanding and embracing the history while also kind of pointing forward to the future. and having someone like him with such rich history and connection to the sport and to our region to bounce things off of is invaluable. So that's been, it's been great. I can say the same thing about Winston Kelly, who runs the NASCAR Hall of Fame, who's become a dear friend and was there all weekend supporting and another voice in the sport that I turn to often. People have just been fantastic, and I've heard from so many across the sport. And to your point about kind of the skepticism, there were some pretty well-known voices in the industry who were quite vocally skeptical about what we would be able to do at the Super Speedway. And I got to tell you, some of the most satisfying messages that I've received personally have been from some of those folks.
Sure.
Some of whom are on record and some of whom just contacted me directly and said, I can't believe what you guys did. And it was more than I could have ever imagined. And kudos to you and the team for being able to pull it off that way. I mean, that has been a fantastic highlight of this entire experience.
Yeah, absolutely. I mean, I've read the tweets. And I know Dale Jr. had a lot of praise, and I think he was one of those that was unsure about it. And I think that says a lot about what you all have been able to do. So with this is the first one. Now you have a year to get ready for the next one. You're not even a week removed. So I know there's still a lot of research and data and things that you have to look at. What are some things that maybe you learned or think that you have learned right away that you can do to improve the experience next time?
Well, having one under your belt helps a great deal. You know, the thing, and I'm not making excuses, but I do want people to understand the broader context. This is the first time that this track has been activated for anything even close to this scale in 10 years. First time it's been activated for a cup race and a sold out crowd in this way ever. And the first time that this team, not only the folks that work for Dover Motorsports, either in Dover and or in Nashville, but also our consultants and others, stakeholders who have worked with us, including yourself.
Yeah.
And the sheriff's departments and the highway, you know, patrol and all the other entities that had to come together to make this work. It's the first time we've all worked together in this way. And so there will be lots of things to learn as we learn each other and as we learn more about what to expect for an event of this size, scale, and scope. And so we're going to be doing that over the next several weeks and do a full debrief and postmortem. And then we'll come back and figure out things that need to be tweaked. We heard people and their complaints regarding kind of traffic, regarding some of the concessions lines and things of that nature. Regarding the desire to have more shade because it was hot. I admit it was hot. You know, we put in the order for good weather and for sunshine and no rain and we got that, but I forgot to put in the order for cloud cover. So, you know, I'll make certain I add that next year, but, you know, our fans that we've heard from that love NASCAR and love this sport, they are exhibiting patience and understanding, and that's all we can ask for. Give us a chance to figure some of these things out, to improve in areas, and share with us your experiences. But please do so in a constructive way.
Absolutely. So this is the question I always love to ask. I do this to Sean Henry whenever there's a big event with the Predators, you know, anytime there's something in Nashville. But I always love about thinking what's next? What could Nashville Super Speedway become? Obviously, you know, you're going to have the race weekend. You had the dinosaur exhibit, which was the first thing that the Speedway really hosted. But what are kind of some of your ideas, your vision for this Speedway moving forward?
Well, the most obvious is all things automotive sports related, you know, the drifting contest, the car clubs. In fact, this weekend we will be hosting the Rusty Wallace Experience out at the Super Speedway on Saturday and Sunday to give people that in-car experience, which, as you know, is kind of the best way to really get a great understanding and appreciation for our sport, for what the drivers have to do, for what the cars have to do to perform in the way that we're able to see on Sundays. And so that'll be the first thing. And that, in my mind, is the low-hanging fruit. But the other things are, you know, we're on 650 event-ready acres. So festivals, music festivals, light shows. I'd love to do a hot air balloon festival. I'd love to do college football games. I'd love to do high school football, contests and classics. These are all things that I've done in Washington, D.C., and that I believe that we can do in Tennessee. And there will be other things that come to us. And we're all ears and encouraging people who have ideas that want to do stuff with us. We want to work with you, and we want to figure out the best way to continue to be an asset to Middle Tennessee.
Last thing for you, Eric. The drivers were very complimentary of the track. And there was uncertainty there because, they hadn't raced there in 10 years. It had, sat there, and you were wondering. I know at the tire tests, Kurt Busch was on the show saying, it kind of ate the tires. NASCAR put the resin down on the track. We saw some good racing, good side-by-side racing. The track really rubbered up. So when you hear the drivers give you that type of compliment, I mean, that's got to make you feel even better about everything.
Oh, my God. I can't even tell you. Because think about it. The thing that we have the least amount of control over as the promoter is what happens on the track.
Right.
That's all NASCAR. And so hats off to Steve O'Donnell, Scott Miller, and the folks in competition at NASCAR who were chiefly responsible for getting the track prepared for competition for Friday, Saturday, and Sunday. I think they did a fantastic job with the resin and dragging the tires and putting some rubber down. And frankly, as they always told me, the cars are so very different than they were in 2001 or even 2011. And they'll be different next year when we go to the next gen car. The tires are different. And so, as I was being a nervous Nelly the entire time, they kept saying to me, Eric, don't worry. It'll be okay. Things have changed. Don't look at past as prologue. Things will be different. And thankfully, it seems like that was the case. So it was fantastic to hear from the drivers that, they could get 2-3. And I think on Sunday, and you'd know better than I do because you saw more.
Oh, there was four wide.
They got four wide, yeah. Right? I mean, so nobody was lacking grip so much so that they couldn't get four wide. And I think that bodes well for the future.
There were a few times that Joe Williams and I go, they're four wide. I don't know if that's going to work, but they're four wide. And they figured it out. Eric, appreciate it. Congratulations. Seriously, it was a fantastic weekend, and I'm so glad that you included me and I got to be a part of it. But you all should be very proud of what you put on there at the Nashville Super Speedway, and can't wait for the next one.
Well, we're glad that you could be a part of it, my friend. I want to give a big shout out to the entire Dover Motorsports team, our colleagues in Dover, as well as my staff here in Nashville. It took a full team effort, and every single person who was associated with this event, yourself included and Joe included, gains some success around this and owns a piece of that success. We couldn't have done it without everybody.
For sure, for sure. He is Eric Moses, the president of the Nashville Super Speedway, and that puts a book on the weekend, and it's hard to believe that it has come and gone. But I did mention Darrell Waltrip joined Darren Donick and Chase earlier in the week. When we come back, you'll hear from old DW, get his thoughts on what he saw last Sunday, plus Sunday Money a little later on as a doubleheader this weekend at Pocono. It's Chasing Checkers, ESPN 102.5. We're back here on Chasing Checkers, ESPN 102.5. The game, if you miss anything, just subscribe to the podcast by searching for Chasing Checkers wherever you get your podcast. It's also at thegamenashville.com, chasingcheckersradio.com. I co-host the show Monday through Friday from 10 to 2 on ESPN 102.5 The Game, called Darren Donick and Chase, with Darren McFarlane and Willie Donick and yours truly. And we had Darrell Waltrip join the show on Monday, and he gave his thoughts on what he saw at the Nashville Super Speedway on Sunday.
No, you know what? Yesterday was it exceeded my expectations. Eric Moses has done an incredible job of putting together a team that was able to put that show on yesterday, or Friday, Saturday, and Sunday, really. And I was so impressed. There were 40,000 people there. The racing was good. The track was good. The facility was outstanding. To think that thing laid there for 10 years dormant and nothing happened, and they opened up the gates, and it's like they raced there yesterday. So I was totally impressed with the whole week and weekend. And I just think Eric and his crowd should really give themselves a pat. I told him this morning, I said, but he hit it out of the park. And, I was talking to Jimmy France yesterday, and Jimmy said, this is exactly what we needed, because it's a shot in the arm. It's kind of like COVID's behind us, and we're starting to get back to a little bit of normalcy, and to have all those people there, to have the event, and to have the things go off the way it did. It was just a fantastic day. I was so happy for everybody who was involved.
It was crystal clear if you spent any time out at the track or if you watched the coverage that this sport, NASCAR, was so happy to be in this market. They were so happy to be in Nashville. And, you know, I realize Nashville's the it city. But it was, you could tell NASCAR was proud to be a part of the it city.
Yeah, it was. You know, Mike Helton, who's the president of NASCAR, head of a lot of different departments, does a lot of different jobs, kind of a all-around guy. He loves Nashville. He's on the board of directors at the Hall of Fame, and he likes Leaper's Fork. And so he's a big Nashville, has been for a long, long time. He's a good friend of mine. And to know what's going on in our city, you know, with the maybe the possibility of renovating the fairgrounds, the soccer stadium, the Indy cars are going to race in the streets of Nashville here in a few weeks. I tell you, this is the hottest city in the country. What is it? I think somebody, correct me if I'm wrong, is this the 8th fastest growing city in the country?
It'd be hard to argue that. Yeah, I'm not surprised by that. Sure.
And yesterday was just, I mean, it was like going to Disney World. Everybody was so excited. They didn't have to wear a mask. They didn't have to, you know, they just came to a sporting event and they saw a great show and they had a great time and all the amenities were there. Everything was there. Dover Downs came in, you know, it's their track and they've had cup races for years. So they know what they're doing and they assisted Eric. NASCAR sent people in. They assisted Eric. Everybody pitched in to make sure this event went off without a hitch. And, I mean, you're always going to have a few people, oh, well, the hot dogs weren't done enough or the parking wasn't good enough or this or that. But overall, 90% of the people that were there had a great day and saw a great show. And we're excited about having NASCAR back in NASCAR Cup cars back in Nashville. It was great.
Yeah, maybe they can get a fast pass. Oh, sorry, that was a Disney reference. That would be appropriate for the Super Speedway, right, if we had fast passes. Let's talk about the racing on the track. You said it. You said it was good racing. It's a concrete surface. It's a mile and a third. And you know this from the first go-around. And I get it. It wasn't the Cup Series, but it was the Busch / Nationwide and the trucks first go-around. But it didn't create much passing. Basically, if you got out there in clean air, a lot of times people were just running away from everybody else in the pack, and it was kind of boring racing. That was not the case this weekend. It was not the case yesterday, even though Kyle Larson made it look that way at times. But why do you think this was better this go-around, Darrell?
Well, I think the track was ahead of its time. 10 years ago, 840 wasn't finished. You got on a 65, and you got up there at Lebanon. So 840 wasn't finished. There wasn't a lot of traffic there. There wasn't a lot going on that corridor. And if you go to the track now, Amazon and I don't know who all is building warehouses everywhere. It just had a different feel to it. And it was before the track was like out in the middle of nowhere. Where in the heck am I? But now you feel like it's a destination, and it's close to Murfreesboro. It's close to Lebanon. It's close to Nashville. Very few of our racetracks are right in the middle of town, and so this track with 840 right there in and out, I just think they have a lot going for it. And then you bring a guy like Eric Moses in. I don't know if you met Eric or not. If you do, you'll love him. He's been in this business before. He knew nothing about racing. I met him back in January, February, whenever it was, and he went to a lot of races, got a lot of information. He soaked up all that information and he applied it to the race yesterday. And everybody, I didn't meet a soul. I was in the presidential suite, Mike Helton and Jimmy France, and everybody that I talked to was elated with the turnout they had and the event they had and the way they presented the sport to, you know, over the last three days. So it was really, quite honestly, unbelievable that they were able to do what they did.
We're talking to Darrell Waltrip, a winner of 84 Cup Series races, a three-time champion in the Hall of Famer, in Nashville's own, Franklin's own, here in Middle Tennessee. You bring up Kyle Larson. How frustrating, and you've been on both sides of this. You've been the driver that everybody's mad at because you're winning all the races and taking all the money, and then you've been chasing that guy before. How frustrating is it for the other drivers looking at him going, what the heck do we got to do to beat this guy?
Well, I back in the day, it was like you assume somebody was cheating. You know, if somebody was that much better than everybody else, well, they got an illegal car or they're doing something that gives them an advantage that nobody's caught up with yet. But the way the rules package is today, and they've had these same cars for quite some time now, and the rules are pretty much black and white. There's not any gray areas. It just comes down to strategy, setup of the car, and then who's behind the wheel. And listen, there was no question in my mind from the first time I ever saw Kyle Larson drive a car until yesterday that he was a wheel man. He eats and sleeps and loves racing. He's racing tonight in a sprint car.
Yeah.
And he probably raced four or five nights this week before they get to Pocono. So he's a racer. He loves the sport. It's all he does. That's all he knows. I'll tell you a quick story about him. So I interviewed him a few years ago when he was a rookie. And I talked to his dad. And his dad said, let me tell you about Kyle. He said when he was a little boy, they were looking at a video game. They were playing a video game of racing. And Kyle was on the pole. And Kyle said, Dad, I want to start in the back. Dad said, wait, son, you're on a pole. What do you want to do that for? I want to start in the back so I can pass them all. And so that's his attitude. He's just a great kid. Look, I hate what happened to him, but it probably was the best thing that ever happened to him. Maybe a wake-up call, and I think it changed him as a person and his personality. And I think he's good for the sport. And I don't know how many races he might win. He might win them all. The way that car runs, Cliff Daniels doing an incredible job in calling the races, and that's incredible equipment. He could win them all. And it doesn't seem like he's such a well-liked young man that nobody really resents that. They just seem to embrace it and wish him well.
He started his career with Chip Ganassi Racing, and Chip has done a great job in IndyCar and NASCAR. He's a proven winner. But you go to Hendrick, and you drove for Junior Johnson, won three championships there. You went and drove for Rick. You know the expectations that Rick has. And for Kyle to come over as a proven winner and then take it up a notch, I mean, he's almost doubled his career win total. I mean, what does that say not only about Kyle but Rick Hendrick and what they got going on right now?
Well, Rick is he's not in this sport to lose. You know, that was one thing about Rick I loved about him. He is passionate about this sport. He loves it, and he has the resources. He has the people. He has the connections that he was down a couple of years ago there with the cars that weren't, Camaros weren't that great. But they refined that car, the engine program, they've stepped that up. They did a deal with Childress, where Childress and Hendrick are sharing information. And Rick is a smart guy. He's a businessman, but he doesn't what I love about Rick is he can apply his business, what he knows about doing business, and tie that to racing, business to business. He's a hard guy to beat. And when he buckles down and says, I'm going to make this kid a star, you better take it to the bank, because he's the kind of guy, when he walks the walk, he talks the talk.
It's a cool coincidence, but I don't know if you heard the stat that in 1984, the last time the Cup Series was in Nashville, you ran second to Jeff Bodine. Jeff Bodine was driving a red and white number 5. I think it was still All-Star Racing, but a Rick Hendrick-owned car. And lo and behold, they come back and Larson's in a red and white number 5 owned by Rick Hendrick.
Yeah, well, the more things change, the more they stay the same. I didn't run second yesterday. That's the only thing that was different. Ross Chastain did. He did a heck of a good job with that Ganassi car. But anyway, y'all, yesterday was a great shot in the arm. I think it was a great shot in the arm for our sport. You know, we've dealt with COVID for a year and a half now, and I think yesterday was just the beginning of yesterday was the end of the COVID debacle and the beginning of a new NASCAR, and I think everybody was excited about it. I know I was.
Well, if you were in the presidential suite yesterday, you were running first. I was the ding-dong out in the sun, bearing the heat, putting sunscreen on. So, yeah, you won first.
Yeah, they were all coming up there to see what it was. All right. Yeah, that's what they do.
Daryl, did yesterday, and it's one race, you obviously you want to learn from that race and apply it, and they got a 4-year contract with NASCAR to run this, but did it show you enough to make you think that if all this stuff with the fairgrounds happens, that running two cup races at two different tracks in the same market, that it can work?
Well, it could, but here's kind of a vision I have, and it's not like it's something I thought of, but when we were in Indianapolis, we raced outside the trucks and Infiniti cars raced at Raceway Park, just right outside of town there, little half mile, 5/8 mile, whatever it was, and they had Friday night and Saturday night short track racing, and then they went over to the Super Speedway over there to Indy race and ran on Sunday. So I could see that happen. I could see us running trucks and Xfinity cars at the fairgrounds and then going out to the Super Speedway and running the cup cars on Sunday. That's a scenario that could happen. And then, quite honestly, they're two totally different racetracks. The 5/8 mile at the fairgrounds is historic. And, we could race there, a short track race, one part of the schedule, and come back and run the Super Speedway another part of the schedule. So there's just a lot of options. When you have Bruton Smith's crowd, Marcus and Jerry Caldwell and those guys, you have options. And now that Dover's got the Super Speedway up and running, you got options. I think it'll be interesting to see what direction we go in and how they make all this work. But they'll make it work.
So I got to ask you, I had the opportunity this weekend to work with Joe Williams and do PA for the track, which was awesome. Uh-huh. And all the stories I heard, and you were in a lot of them, it was a lot of fun. But he made the comment as we were talking during the race, Kyle Busch gets a lot of reaction out of the fans, and he said he's the modern-day Darrell Waltrip. He wins a lot. He's outspoken. He's got personality. Do you see that comparison with you and Kyle?
Well, I love Kyle. He's my favorite driver. If I had to pick a guy, it'd probably be Kyle. And because of, first of all, he's really good at what he does, and I like that. But he doesn't mind telling you what he thinks, and he's not really worried about whether you like him or not. And so we don't have any villains. That's one of the downsides to the sport right now is everybody walks around afraid they're going to say the wrong thing, afraid they're going to do the wrong thing, afraid they end up like Kyle Larson. And so I think we don't have any villains, and they're all afraid to say what they're really thinking. So Kyle, he doesn't really care. It doesn't seem to matter to him. He says what he's thinking. If you like it, fine. If you don't, fine. Whatever. And he's about the only one. Kevin Harvick's a little bit that way. Denny Hamlin's a little bit that way. But they're all a little bit cautious because they don't want to lose their ride. They don't want to lose what they worked so hard to gain. And so it's refreshing to me when Kyle complains about his car, his crew, the fans, whatever. I wish we don't need a lot of that, but we do need a little bit more of that, I think.
When did you kind of develop that? Were you always that way, and or did it just kind of over time? And because you played the villain role, but you played it well. And I remember you did that commercial for Toyota where the guy saying, back in the 80s, I booed you. Could you ever forgive me? Then you're cutting donuts on his yard. I mean, that was Jaws. Well, that was great.
Yeah. I was having fun. I didn't realize nobody else was, but I was having a lot of fun. And I look at some of the interviews I did back in the day when I was at, on top of my game. And I've told my wife many a time, I'd whip his ass if I had to race him. he's talking out, but he's not a nice man. I think I'd have to take him down a notch.
When we come back, we'll wrap it up with a little Sunday money, a doubleheader at Pocono. That's all next, Chasing Checkers, ESPN 1025 The Game. Chasing Checkers rolling right along here on this Saturday. We're here every Saturday morning at 9 o'clock on ESPN 102.5 The Game, and you can always check us out at thegamenashville.com or chasingcheckersradio.com. We have all the updated stats and standings, videos, different things, so you can check that out as well. Again, appreciate Eric Moses for joining us, Darrell Waltrip. You can hear that entire Darrell Waltrip interview by going to thegamenashville.com under Darren Donick and Chase. We post everything there on demand. So a doubleheader at Pocono this weekend, and I love this. I hope to see NASCAR do this a little bit more with other tracks. We actually saw three doubleheader weekends because of COVID last year. Pocono, which was already scheduled, and then Michigan did one, as well as Dover Downs. But this one at Pocono, a scheduled doubleheader, and looking forward to it, going to be a lot of fun to see two races in 2 days. So that leads us into Sunday money. All right, some notes for you as we get into this. active drivers with the most wins at Pocono, Denny Hamlin leads the way with 6, and he had one of them last year in the doubleheader, 2019, 2010, 2009, and, of course, the sweep in 2006 at the beginning of his career. Kyle Busch and Kurt Busch both have won there 3 times apiece. Kyle most recently in 2019. He actually did it 2019, 2018, 2017. Kurt most recently in 2016. Martin Truex Jr. has a pair of wins there, the last coming in 2018. And, of course, Kevin Harvick won the other race of the doubleheader weekend in 2020 for his only Pocono win. Other drivers that are active to win at Pocono, Ryan Blaney, Chris Buescher, Joey Logano, Brad Keselowski, and Ryan Newman. So when I look at this at BetMGM, this is where all the odds come from. The favorite, of course, it's Kyle Larson. Why wouldn't it be? Kyle Larson is going for 4 in a row, which has been done. The last time it was done was Jimmy Johnson, who did the four-peat in 2007. Jeff Gordon has done that. Mark Martin has done that. Bill Elliott, Harry Gant, Dale Earnhardt, Darrell Waltrip, Cale Yarborough, David Pearson did it on 2 separate occasions. Billy Wade, Bobby Allison, and then Richard Petty did it on 2 separate occasions as well. Actually, with Bobby Allison and Richard Petty, they were even more than 4. Bobby Allison had 5 in a row, Petty had 6 in a row, and 10 in a row before that. So Kyle Larson is the favorite at plus 210. Denny Hamlin is at plus 700 is the next. So the 3 that I'm going to give you, I do think that Larson's streak comes to an end. I don't think the 4-peat happens. I think Denny Hamlin gets off the schneid and he wins. And again, the odds I'm giving you are for today's race. They are for the Saturday race. They are not for Sunday. We will tweet those out. I should point that out. I think Denny Hamlin gets it done today. And gets off the schneid. The others that I like on this list, I do like Kevin Harvick at plus 900. I think Pocono is a place for guys that need a win to get a win. So I have Hamlin at plus 700, Harvick at plus 900. Give me Ryan Blaney at plus 1400 as well. And then your long shot will be Kurt Busch at plus 5000. I think Chip Ganassi Racing has run much better as of late. So there you go. There is your Saturday money with Denny Hamlin, Kevin Harvick, Ryan Blaney, and Kurt Busch. That is going to do it for this edition of Chasing Checkers. My thanks to Eric Moses, Darrell Waltrip, and all of you for listening. Check us out at thegamenashville.com, chasingcheckersradio.com. We're back at it next Saturday at 9 on ESPN 102.5 The Game.